Okay, it's powered by you guys.
We all know this from the musical, right? Way, way back many centuries ago. And so it ends up with the great scene of, so Jacob came to Egypt, no longer feeling old. It's the end of the play, and describes them going down, includes all the names of all those who came down, so Shivim Nefesh. They came out with 70 souls. Source one, they took the cattle, their stuff, that they acquired in Canaan by Mitzrayim, and everyone came down to Egypt. Yaakov and all of his descendants with them. Banav, sons, grandsons, Yitel with him. Notav, daughters, and his granddaughters. Eitan woke up. He brought with him to Egypt, and then gives the list of all the names. Kol nefesh have, as Kol nefesh, Bal Yaakov Mitzrayim, Yotzei Yerecho. So all the nefesh, all the people, all the souls that came with Yaakov to Egypt, his descendants, Milvan and Yaakov, besides the wives of Yaakov's sons, his daughters-in-law, Kol nefesh shishim b'sheish, totaled 66. Mitzrayim, and then Yosef had two sons who were already there. And Kol Nefesh, the Beit Yaakov, Abba Mitzrayim. So the total sum of the house of Yaakov when it came to Egypt, it was Mitzrayim Shivim was 70. And there are three obvious questions. The first one, if you add the names, or if you take that 66 here, starts with 66, you had Yosef and two sons, which is three, and you end up with 70.
And
We have,
Yaakov.
we have to figure that out. But at least right now you have 60 plus 66 plus 3. So yes, that's going to be the answer we're going to come to, but what there? So we know if you add the total numbers, Yaakov's descendants is 69. Where does Shivim come from? First question. Second, why are we excluding Yaakov's sons and daughters-in-law, right? Milvad Nishev and Yaakov.
Because they weren't descendants.
That's true, but Kol Nefesh, the Beit Yaakov, they're not part of Beit Yaakov. He didn't count at all. And
You're
the third
right.
question, I mean, that's there about to ask the question. And the que other third question, which is not obvious from because we didn't include the whole list, but where are all the girls? You look at the list, you got 69 descendants, two of them are female, Dinah and Serach. So the only ones listed. Yaakov really only have one daughter and 12 sons. Do you have the 40, 50, I get the number 50, 55 grandsons and one granddaughter? It seems unreasonable just in terms of the normal numbers there. We talked about this last year. And you can go ahead and look at
We did.
that question there, because the context of understanding what was who is Serach, Serach bat Asher, and what is she doing as the only granddaughter there. So it's that great detail. And Rashi only looks at the first question. Who's the extra person there? Where is the 60, has the 69 become 70? And it brings in the Agada that Yocheved, daughter of Levi, she was born on the way. She's not on the list, but she should be included in the 70. When it says it goes back, we talk about Bnei Leah. That this list of descendants of Yaakov of Leah, including Dinah, Kol Nefesh, Banav, Notav, his sons, daughters, Shloshim B'Shalosh. It divides each of the 40 Imahot. She has 33. Upratan Iyata Shloshim. And in the list of names, there's only 32. Elazu Yochevich. This 33rd, which again would correspond to the 69th, the 70th one, was Yocheved. That's the Agada. She was born as they entered into whatever is the borders of Egypt. So Netziv, though, starts with the assumption that the Shivim Nefesh, these 70, are the ones listing specific who would have an impact on the future of the Jewish people. They're the ones that later in Parsha Pinchas are listed as ones who are the ancestors of those who would enter into Eretz Yisrael. So here's It's verse three. It talks about Benotav, Benot, his daughters, his granddaughters. Who are they? Here's Rashi Yocheved Serach. That Rashi says his granddaughters is Serach, who's listed, and Yocheved is not listed, but there's an Agada that says she was there. That's granddaughters, plural. But Pelelomar, and it makes no sense to say, and it's very strange to say. She Bnei Yaakov lo huldu kulam rak zacharim lo nekevot. That Yaakov's sons only had boys. You've got all this long list of grandsons, and only, oh, even in Rashi, two granddaughters out of 55. I mean, even I don't get make those kind of odds with six daughters. But it makes sense to say that there were other girls there. They were not counted as part of these 70 nefesh. This one counted. Lo Hayu lo od banot, minashav, and it also it, more than that. It makes sense to say that Yaakov had other daughters, besides just Dinah, as it says above. When Yaakov finds out that Yosef is gone, it says banav banotav, all of his sons and daughters, plural, says plural. So who are the benotav? You could argue that, but that does it could be plural, just generic term for whatever daughters he has. Could include daughters-in-law, which presumably had at that point, 22 years earlier. But he's saying the mashma'ut, the literal meaning is his daughters, plural. That he had other daughters. But they were not mentioned by the names here. Because they never had a real impact on the Jewish people. Dina had a story. That's why she's mentioned by name. That even by Abraham, we have a Tana who meant says in the Gemara Baruch Batra, Sheol Lobat, that he had a daughter as well, but she's not mentioned. Because girls don't get mentioned, right? She's not mentioned because there was no zikron, no memory left in Israel. So I'd say that would explain why Nishei Bnei Yaakov are not part of the list. They're not mentioned there because they're bateled to their husbands, right? They're part. They're not. They don't have their own independent existence. And feel free to point out how androcentric this is. But the fact is, this was the social reality of the time.
Can I also point that out?
Yes.
Okay. I've been quiet.
Pointed.
Yeah, I know. No, I want you to point this out because that's where we're heading there. That, but the truth is that women moved into their husbands' homes. What that means is that daughters and granddaughters would be lost to Jewish people. I mentioned that here, but one of the Gemara and Brayat Bavadra says that the bracha that Abram had was that he did not have a daughter because she would be lost. Because she'd married somebody and they'd be part of that family, not part of this Beit Avraham, or in this case Beit Yaakov. But I would read it a little bit differently, in that it's not so much that they didn't have an impact, but the nefesh and kol nefesh of Beit Yaakov, when it's trying Mashivim, is not talking about individuals; it's talking about families or households. The neshim and the and the Anashim are part of the same household. These are the 70 households. And yes, the women who have married out are not going down with Yaakov. That's the truth. So whatever daughters he has, they're married out, they're gone. The list of names, the list of the Batei Av. And yes, it's androcentric. I like that word, as opposed to misogynist. We're not anti, but just the fact was that you named the household was named after the father. But it included father, mother, children, whatever went into making a family. We're not even judging what that is. That the family name was of the father. And so this list here is list of the household was it within the larger family of Bnei Yisrael. So that's what it means to say Milvad Mishe Bnei Yaakov is that they weren't not they weren't counted, but they're not counted separately. These are 70 families, 70 households. And yes, Dina was her own household. She had a tragic story that was separate. Okay. And we talked last year the implication that Serach was the head of her own household. She was the one out of all the potential descendants of Yaakov who weren't pulled away as a woman. She managed it. She kept her family within the realm of Bnei Yaakov. And that's the Ramban says that about Sarah as well. About Sarah, Sarah was the head of a household and managed to do that. And last year's essay, I apologize. I said I wasn't going to make that as a feminist essay, but you could do that if you wanted to. But it explains the 70 as well, that Yaakov's descendants were 69 households. Yaakov still had his own household. I don't know if any of the Imahot were still alive, but they're still part of that. And so that Yaakov, as you said, is the one who makes that 70. 69 descendants, Yaakov's own household.
Yeah, it's neat, but what doesn't work is the word nefesh feels emphasizing.
No, but that's how they talk now. Like, I know when we were looking for an apartment, it's like, how many nefeshotatim.
But that doesn't mean how many households.
Right.
That means how many individuals.
Right.
So we're going to look at that in a little bit different way. Hold that thought. Feel free to disagree with me, but give me a little bit more of a chance.
But I'm just saying linguistically, I like what you're saying.
Yes.
Household, the girls are, you know, go out, the ones who marry. But the word nefesh just feels very singular.
Individual. So we're going to pull a different word in soon.
Okay.
Okay. So I give me a chance and disagree with me at the end.
Okay.
Please. Okay. So I'm just going to point out where we're adding Yaakov to the 69, right? So again, Rashi says that 70th was Yocheved. We have the Aruch Chaim says that it was Hashem who went down with them and faked the 70. Ibn Ezra, lots of other people say Yaakov. You'll give it, article acknowledge that Yaakov is that one. Ibn Ezra, Nachom Beinai, Yaakov Bechespo. That Yaakov is part of this count. Umeni Yechel, and it starts with him. Kilomar Kol Nefesh, Banav, Gretav, Im Nafsho, with him. Shoshim, Shalosh, the 33 there. Yaakov with him. Baraya Zeshemar Betchila, Yaakov Ubanav. Yaakov also. The Arachayim on this says, similarly, Nachom Bepsha Akatuvim. That's Yaakov with his descendants. That's the 70. And he adds this important paragraph. You shouldn't find it difficult. Don't question. That we're giving a different answer than the Agada that Rashi brings about Yocheved. We're not contradicting the Chazal. I've already explained to you. You're looking at Pshat of the Torah. You're not asking a halacha here. You have permission to bring your own chidushim. You have to be a Talmid Vatik, right? You have to be an experienced student, okay? We're not gonna don't just make up stuff there, but you've thought about it, you've learned it, you have the Rashut Natuna, you have the absolute permission granted to have a chidush. It says, Chiko Mamtakim, and the Pesukim are cheering that your cheeks are sweet, the Kulo Machamidot, and you're all beautiful. Well, any explanation you give that comes out of your mouth is a good one. You're allowed to have this Kiddushim. And he said that's my shot here, is that it's got to be Yaakov. And the textual evidence.
When you publish your book, you'll be pretty old already, and you'll need a pen name, like Chafetz Chaim. It could be Talmid Vatik.
That Talmid Vatik. Okay, so how do you say curmudgeon in Hebrew?
Talmid Vatik.
Talmid That's
Vatik
really nice.
Grumpy. Yeah? Okay. Thank you for your faith in my lasting here. Maybe I'll change the name. The website's called Kavanot, but that was just something I came up with early on. I got to change that to.
I think that's nice. Why? What's wrong with that?
The cover note? It's not as clever as Talmid Vatik.
No. The author is the Talmid Vatik. You need a
pen name. Right? The pen name is after the book, right? So it's safer to be called the.
Oh, I say for Talmid Vatik, and then the next book.
The book.
Could be
Kavanot Talmid Vatik. There we go.
May 8th. Anyway, okay.
Okay.
Right. I think David has it. The next book will be Tommy Becker because you'll already be old.
I paid for these silver hairs. I'm already there.
Okay. Sorry.
But you look at the way it's worded in Shemot, where it's talking about the same thing, right? Ela Shemot B'nei Yisrael HaBa'im Mitzrayim. These are the names of B'nei Yisrael who came to Egypt. Et Yaakov, V'Yaakov Ishu Beit Tel. And that's where in Shemot it's pointing out they came down Ishu Beit Tel, each person with their household. And that's my evidence, that's my reason for reading this as, yes, it's Nefesh, but it's Nefesh in the context of the Beit Tel. That's where they come down. Ayikol Nefesh Yotei Yaakov Shivim Nefesh. This Ishu Beit Tel was Nefesh Shivim. Shivim Nefesh. That's Ishu Beit Tel. Yosef Rebetz Triumph. There. And Hirsch on this word Ishu Beit Tel says that's the secret of their survival of Golden Mitzrayim. This is Hirsch. Later on, God began building up his people on the rock-like foundations of homes. That's when they leave Mitzrayim. It's Selah Beit Avot. One sheep for every house, Selah Bayit for each home. On the bond of children to parents, and parents of children. All the children of Yaakov, yet, on the other hand, themselves fathers of their own children. We're still androcentric here. The spirit of the family, which each son builds his home, only is a branch of his father's house, which allows every father and grandfather to go on living in Israel, children and grandchildren. That is wherein lies the root of Israel's eternal blossoming. See, the fact they could survive in Galut was the fact they went down Ishu Beit Tel.
Again, androcentric there, sons, fathers.
Yes, I see that. And that's his Hirsch okay. In 19th century Germany. Okay. Definitely was androcentric. We feel free to change. I am not going to edit his words, but you may edit the thought in your mind here. And keep the model of Serach here, okay? It's possible to do, even in such an androcentric society, you can be the maternal head. And I need to take this out. The little red here means I need to edit that, but I'll say some more words. That this, the way he puts it here, we're talking about the spirit of family. He has one word, Familiengeist. That I think is what the Nefesh here means. It's a spirit, it's that feeling of being a family. That's the Nefesh HaBa'al Mitzrayim. That's a Familiengeist in Hirsch's words. So that Nefesh here, I say, would be the same as that Nefesh Shivim is Ishu Beit Tel.
So there would have been a few hundred people coming?
Right. Certainly does not include small children.
Right.
I would say it only includes people, those who form their own family. Have you defined a household? That's the ones that came down there. Mm-hmm. Had little children there. And again, I think they really were missing a lot of girls there because they were all living in Moab and Canaan and Haran, wherever they were. They just weren't part of the Beit Yaakov.
But according to Hirsch, it could have even been more, like a multi-generational house. It's the grandfather's house, and even the sons who have their own children could still be included.
Might have been part of the household there.
Right, meaning it could have been significantly bigger. We're not like...
Yeah, I mean, it could have been that much bigger because they're not that old. Right, I mean, at the point where he's going down, at this point, Yosef is 39, so Reuven is 6 years old, is 45.
Right.
So they could have had grandchildren. You might have had you get married at 13, possibly. So you might have had some grandchildren who are old enough to be household. Right. Not that, but it wouldn't be that many, but you could have had a much larger group, certainly. And the Medrash specifically notes that Nefesh throughout the story is singular.
Huh.
Nefesh Shivim. It's always in the singular. And you can argue that's a grammatical rule. Then in Biblical Hebrew Tanakh, quantities over 10 take the singular, right? And kind of the Omer, right? We have Hayom Shisha Yamim in the plural, but Hayom Shisha Sayom. But anything over 10 takes a singular again. But that's not what's going on here, because even less than 10 in the list here, the names of Bebe Bilha, for instance. These are the children of Bilha. Batila El Yaakov Kol Nefesh Shiva. Of seven is still Shiva, the singular. It's all a singular. So Midrash says that that's a specific statement about what this was, a Nefesh in the religious sense, in the spiritual sense.
What does that mean, Kol Nefesh Shiva?
That all of the Nefesh of this part of the household was a total of seven. There were seven.
Okay.
And then again, the total, it was Kol Nefesh Shivim, and all of them, Bilhah's branch was Shiv'ah, right. Rachel's branch was Arbasar. So having a singular there is not a, well, it's less than 10, so, Hayom Shishar Shayom kind of thing. This is, it's specifically a singular here. This is the way Baker Rav puts it. Beisav Ketivve, Sheish Nefashot. But when mentioning, when Esav goes down, leaves Canaan, he goes to move to Seir. It says he brought out his family, which basically consisted of six sons at that point. Sivbe nefashot. It uses the plural nefashot, nefashot harbe. It says, Vayikach Esav et nashav banav benotav v'kol nafshot beito. Nashot plural. Yaakov shivim nefesh. Singular. Sivbe nefesh achat. Uses singular. As he said, Vayikol nefesh yotei Yaakov shivim nefesh. Ella Esav shu oved la'alhot rabot tibei nefashot harbei. Esav, his family served many gods. They couldn't disagree. And I didn't quote the story from Be'yik Rabbi. The start is off was a non-Jew talking to, I forget which rabbi, complaining about his family that whenever they get together for Thanksgiving, all they do is argue about religion. But Jews, since they have one religion, don't disagree about those sorts of things. Right? Because we never disagree about religious things, but Yaakov, who obeyed the Elokachad, Yaakov's family all serve the same God, Tibay Nefesh Achad. Still, we have the same Nefesh. Right? We still come back to a singular, even though we may have lots of individual families, we still have Nefesh Achad, still a single Familiengeist, spirit of the family. That's the Vehikol Nefesh. That's all together. And the Sfat Emes adds on that as well. And it says, Basu kol nefesh shivim. And our Parsha Ketav Rashi, and Rashi quotes our Medrash, Be'esav ketiv nefashot. Be'esav, it uses the plural word, Yaakov shiv nefesh in the singular, she'ovdin lekel achad. Nireh kizeh yisod kol ha'galut bagula.
It froze for me.
Oh, can you see me now? Is it completely frozen?
Is it my...
You froze for me.
Oh, now you're back. Okay. Now you're back.
So I have it. Nira kizeh yisod kol ha'galut v'gula. So it said this, he says, is secret of galut, of the exile and the redemption. Masha yordim ba'achdu achat. The fact that they could come down as a shivim nefesh, 70 families, but still having that singular achdut of a singular nefesh, that was the secret of their survival in galut. Ki galut hiyat pashut hayud bet shvatim. Plus every galut is a continuation of these 12 tribes ad shivim and becoming the 70 families, the shishim yivu, and the 600,000 that would eventually leave. So this was their preparation for surviving galut, was making sure they had that unity together of the nefesh. That you came down with 70 nefesh, there were 70. But looking at you got somebody else in your screen to be up. There was a single nefesh there. When
it must be a nurse.
Okay, Batasamcha Kachvayash Ramlarov Moshe says that now God has made you like the stars of the sky. You're still there, but you started out with a shim nefesh. That was your preparation. To Yardu Bachtu. And it came up in my mind. Because this expression from Shemot, that they came down Ishu Beito. The expression Ishu Beito comes up in one other place. Which is?
Gan Eden. No.
No.
Rabbi Foreman.
Everything goes back to Gan Eden there.
Yeah.
Where have you heard the expression Ishu Beito? The answer is Hanukkah.
Hmm.
Right. Tenor Baran, Mitzvot Ner Hanukkah Ner Ishu Beito. Right, mitzvah of Chanukah lights is to have one candle for the Ishu Beito, exactly in that expression. And then the Mahadran have more, they have one for everybody in the household. The Mahadran have increasing numbers according to Hillel. What we do now, of course, that oil is cheap, candles are cheap, so we do all that. But the mitzvah itself is Er Ishu Beito. I got somebody put a chat up. Ah. Just letting us know that everyone's on the way back. Good. And that's the same implication, that the idea that it was the family that made Hanukkah possible. And of course, this is Asher Weiss, one of the Gedolim, and it's Israel. Explains what, when the mitzvah of Isher Beit Tel, any of that, my humble opinion, near Pashut Shalashon near Isher Beit Tel, when it's talking about the idea of it, Isher Beit Tel, it's Klal Eino Mikavenet LeBayit HaFizi. It's not talking about of a house. It doesn't matter what building you're living on. Him B'nei HaBayit, people in the household, near Ishu Mishpach Tel. That's what Ishu Beit Tel means. Near Ishu Bechak Tel. And this was from the Tor Mitzion. Nadav Levin was the Shaliach, the Rosh Tor Mitzion called in Montreal, talking about this, of Mitzvah Ne'er Hanukkah. That Chazal mevakshim la'ir atzibat shorash nitzachon al tavut yavat. It's like, how did the Jews survive Hellenistic culture? The real basis of the miracle of Hanukkah was the Bayit HaYudi. That's what it was. It's from that spirit of family. Atzumato haruchanit shel am Yisrael, the spiritual power of people of Israel, mitoch atzuma shel Bayit HaYudi. It comes from what you learn in the home. That's what Ishu Beit Tel means. Bayit shel melamed midot tavot, home when one learns good midos, kibud harim, respecting one's parents, that's important. Right, Tavita? Gvulot, having boundaries, that's an important part of the lessons learning at home. Kudusha, learning holiness. Bayit shel simcha v'avat chinam, house of joy, loving each other. Bayit shel rechot utamim, house with smells and tastes. Bayit shel mitocha medlikim ba'or yotzei lachutz, that's the house that can light a flame, and the light goes outside from petach beito mechutz, lights outside. That's the secret of Hanukkah, and that's what the mitzvah of Hanukkah as being near Ishu Beito is. You know, even though it may be about the Beit HaMikdash, it may be about the battles, but really it comes from the home. So that becomes the secret of Jewish survival. So it starts out with going down to Egypt with these Shivim Ishu Beito, the Kol Nefesh, the Beit Yaakov, and then transmitted those values through the generations. So we come out with Hanukkah even today, and again to end with the Sfas Emes. Gamata Begalut, even now, you're in exile. Becholin lehibatel, lakoach v'shorash achayim sheyesh lanu me'ashvatim v'avod hakadoshim. We are really battle. We are part of the power that was rooted in the life that we have from the original shvatim, from the avot. So that when they came down, prepared them for this, for the galut that they were going to experience in Egypt. Even while the shvatim were alive, there was no exile. There was no slavery then. But still, even after they were no longer there, they passed those values on. Rashid Kachru, Koach Shalahem, Bechol Beit Yisrael, but they tied their power to all the house of Israel. So that they can survive afterward. I think that's the message of the Beshivim Nefesh, Yadua Vatecha Mitzrayma. That's what the Beshivim Nefesh is all about. And it's the power of the family to bring it to kind of keep that going, even in the most trying circumstances.
Nice that it coincides this parsha. Well, we always read Miketz on
Chanukah. Or usually Miketz. Well, sometimes we get into Vayigash.
But, you know, close enough.
I was thinking about it. I mean, that specifically is why I said, I mean, you keep hearing this expression near Ishu Beito. I thought that's Ishu Beito Bo. That comes up right there. That's why I wanted to put this together there.
That's funny, because like you said, the Hidur mitzvahs, everyone should light and more candles. But this year, I didn't light. This is our family menorah, you know?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I know. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, that's something there's something to be said for that. I think it's nice to have everybody lighting because it's fun with the kids and all that. But
yeah. I don't want to light my own. It's funny.
Okay. I mean, that's the famous
Machloket
Sfaradim and Ashkenazim.
Oh, what does Sfaradim do? One?
So the Gemara says is that the mitzvah of Chanukah is Ner Ishu Beita, one light. Mahadrin is one per member of the household. Mahadrin is one per day and go up in days. 1, 2, 3, according to Hillel. The question is that in addition, does that mean everyone does 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, or is that a separate mitzvah of Mahadrin is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 8, and just the Mahadrin is just one per person every night. So Sfaradim have one Chanukiah that they'll last, Mahadrin and Mahadrin. The best possible way is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then Ashkenazim.
Noticed that a lot, like this year, that most of the houses that I saw or whatever, they just have like one.
Yeah.
Right.
Like they and don't have for all like
better kid. About that in terms of learning about Achdut is it the Sfaradim that the opinion that Sfaradim hold is the opinion of Tosfot, who's Ashkenazi, and the opinion that the Ashkenazim hold was the opinion of the Rambam, who's Sfaradi. So the Ashkenazim hold like the Sfaradi Posek and the Sfaradim hold like the Ashkenazi Posek. Because we're all one big happy family.
Very nice.